Hi everyone, this is Kim McLaughlin from FeedYourSoulUnlimited.com, and this is the fifth week of our Emotional Eating Solutions 8-week virtual group. We're past the halfway point and moving into some more juicy stuff. I'm so glad you guys are here. I wasn't able to be here last Thursday, so I did a more of a virtual, what would you call it? I taped it in advance. So I appreciate you guys' flexibility with that, and I just wanted to try something new and see how that would work to get information out. So thanks for bearing with me last week. And thanks for sending in your emails to ask me questions, and I will definitely go over them today. This is a perfect day for the questions that came up for us to talk about them today. So we are moving into week five, and week five, I call it lifestyle, and what that means is that it's about how we live our lives, because we've been learning a lot of things about why diets don't work, about our bodies and noticing hungry and full, noticing what we want to eat and what that's doing to us, the time of day that we're eating through the food mood log. We've also been talking about, in the third week, we talked about feelings and how those get We started using food to help with emotions rather than using food to feed our body, and emotions as a way to discover what we need in our lives. And food is not the, I think we could all agree that food is not the proper, successful, strategic way to manage feelings, because it gives us causes lots of problems. And then last week what we talked about was thoughts and how the thoughts that we think really can get in the way of our success, and that we can tend to believe our thoughts, believe what our mind says as being real and true when it's not. And it's kind of our mind's way of keeping us limited, keeping us stuck, keeps us held back, and there's this part of our mind that just isn't to our benefit, and that's what we talked about last week, was how your thoughts might be sabotaging you in terms of your eating, and how it can keep you at bay from where you really want to go. So what's interesting to me is that as we move into week five, which is a little past our halfway point, is that the questions that I got were about feeling frustrated, feeling concerned that you can't get it, feeling upset, or just kind of beating yourself up. And I want you to know that that's normal. And that what's interesting to me is that comes up on week five, and it's a process everybody goes through. It's a process people go through in terms of thinking that they should have it by now, thinking that I've learned all these techniques, I've learned all these skills, I'm trying, and I should have it, and I should know how to do it, and I should be able to have this one down. And what that can lead to is that you might feel like you want to give up. You might feel like this isn't going to work. I'll never make it. I'll never be normal with food. I'll never stop overeating. I'll never be able to manage my emotions with something other than food. And what that also can lead you to feel is lead you to feel like you want to give up on the process. you might be saying to yourself some things in your head, like you might say, gosh darn it, I've gained weight, I feel out of control, or I haven't lost the amount of weight I thought I should, or you'll find that you're still binging, you might find that you're still emotionally eating, and this is part of the process. And what I want to say is, if you're noticing it, good job, you're noticing it really quickly, that it's not coming up on you way late in the game, that you're noticing what's going on and being honest with yourself. What happens is that, remember back to week one when we talked about diets, and we talked about diets are insidious and that they are this thing that we've all come to accept in our culture, that it's the way we're supposed to release weight, that if we're heavy, if we overeat, that the thing we're supposed to do is diet. And so what's happening for you right now is that diet mentality is taking over a little bit, telling you that there's something wrong, you haven't done it correctly, and that you'll never make it. And that's that, those diet thoughts. And this is the process of just moving through that and noticing that, oh, wow, there's that thought that I should give up. And what I want you to consider is that diets are what we give up. Diets are what we say, oh, I can't do this anymore, this is too tough. What we're talking about now is how to move into intuitive eating, more normal eating. And you just don't know what that looks like yet. And so you're just trying to figure out what it's all about. So what can happen is that this diet mentality might tell you, I need to restrict. I need to go on a diet. Or it also can tell you, forget it. I can't do this. I'm just going to have a free-for-all. I'm just going to eat everything. I just don't want to do anything to take care of this. But what I want you to remember from my heart to yours is that this is a process about being in touch with your body, using physical cues to tell you when to eat, using those physical cues to help you figure out what to eat and how much to eat, and that it's a process of coming to figuring it out. I've been doing this for a while, and I still find every so often I get stuck too. And it's not a perfect line up where, you know, the trajectory goes straight up in the air where you just get it. It's more of kind of an up and down and all around. But what I know is that the more you stick with it, the more it can work. So I just, as I was thinking about all this and how you might want to give up on the process, I just wanted to tell you a story about somebody that I've worked with before who told me that her pants were getting tight. That, you know, we were going through this process and she was saying her pants are getting tight. And what happened was is that she walked through those thoughts of ending the process. So, you know, her pants are getting tight and she says, this isn't going to work. This will never work. I need to just stop. And what happened was is that she evaluated what she was feeling. And it really takes that kind of wondering and saying, hey, what's going on for me right now? How am I feeling? What's up for me? And what she found is that she was feeling upset, she was feeling scared, and she was feeling angry. And then what she also saw is that if those feelings continued to spiral, leading her to eat, she'd end up sabotaging herself. And what she found is that she'd end up sabotaging herself and going back to her old ways of restricting food, dieting, and not paying attention to her body. And so what happened was, is through the process of acknowledging what's going on, she decided to stick with the process. She decided to say, you know what, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it to try and correct these behaviors, not use food to manage my feelings, and to notice the thoughts that are going on that are sabotaging me in terms of food. And I really praised her for noticing that and for noticing that her pants are getting tight, because that's a great time to notice it, when your pants are getting tight. And that means you're paying more attention to your body. That means you're noticing what's going on. Just like if you're noticing you're eating more food, you're noticing what's going on. And what I love about it is that you're noticing it before you've gained 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 40 pounds, or it's gone on for, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, that you're catching it quick. Because when your pants are getting tight, you're not being blind to what's going on. You're not being blind to what's really happening to you. And you're seeing that your body is reacting to the food, and you get to then notice it and pay attention to it and not have it go on for forever, you know, for months, years, and years and years, which happens to many of us. So what I suggest is notice if you're feeling heavier, notice if your clothes are fitting tighter, and then notice what's really going on with you with food. Notice that maybe there's more salt that you're eating. Notice that maybe your hormones might be out of balance. You might be not exercising in the same way. You might have changed some food that aren't fitting with you. Or it could be that you're mindlessly eating and that maybe you're overeating. And that's a great spot to then reconnect back in with. Am I eating when I'm hungry? Am I eating till I'm full? If the answers are no, then what can I do about it? Am I eating when for emotional reasons? And if the answer is yes, then what do I want to do about my feelings? Am I eating because I'm having these negative thoughts about myself? Well, then I help work on the thoughts, so that then I can have a more positive outlook and a more positive aspect. So I hope you see that these are things that are ongoing. They're lifelong. And it becomes habit. It becomes things that you just do because that's just how you live your life. And it's not like you go on and off a diet. This is the normal part of eating that we're moving you into, away from that restriction, that mindless eating, that emotional eating that you had before. Okay? So this is normal. It's a part of the process. And I just encourage you to stick with it. And we have a lot more to learn and discover that I think will help give you more of the tools, give you more of the understanding, give you more ways to end the emotional eating, because I know that's why you're all here. And you can do it. It just takes time. And giving yourself the opportunity to work out all the ways, all the things that have got you to where you are right now. Okay? So now what I want to do is move into our topic for today, our big topic, which is about lifestyle. And lifestyle is really about how we move through our day and how maybe we've gotten off track with food throughout the day, and then coming up with some ideas that each one of you can use for yourself that work for you to put food in its proper place as nourishment and to nurture your emotions, nurture your soul in a different way. So when I think about lifestyle, I think back to eating. That's kind of the starting spot. And I think back to what we talked about in the beginning when we talked about food and diet, how diets don't work, and how we want to look at food as being nourishment for our body. Eat when we're hungry, stop when we're full. And a first thing that I want you to consider when we're talking about lifestyle is, where are you eating? Where are you eating? And are you distracted while you're eating? This is a key concept, because what I find more often than not is that people who emotionally eat often eat while they're distracted. And we do it for a lot of different reasons. I get it. I know. I'm not 100% about not eating distracted, but I'm definitely a lot different today than I ever was in my past. But consider where you eat. Do you eat in front of the TV? Do you eat while you're walking? Do you eat maybe in a large group of people where there's a lot of conversation or a lot of energy going on around you? Do you eat while you're reading? Do you eat while you're looking at the phone? Do you eat while you're driving? Do you eat in bed? I was talking to somebody yesterday. Oh, my gosh, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and they said that they eat in their bed this crunchy food. And I thought, wow, that is, I haven't done that in ages. And all I could think of was how messy that was. So eating in bed, not good for the bed, but also it is eating distracted. Another thing to think about, where do you eat? Do you eat in front of the computer? I used to do that all the time. I do it a little bit now, but it's really when I'm just sitting reading and I have a very a limited amount of food. Do you eat while you're standing up? Do you eat over the kitchen sink? And what I want to wonder with you is, how can you eat mindfully if you're doing that? So really consider, as we look at your lifestyle, how are you eating? Where are you eating? Are you distracted while you're eating? The second thing I want you to consider with lifestyle is, are you using food to combat boredom or to combat loneliness? And that can tend to be that lifestyle piece of I find my clients talk about eating when they're bored, eating when they're lonely, overeating at the end of the day. Generally, it's in the evening time where they come home and it's just game on. I'm just going to eat and eat and eat and eat. And when we track it back to what's going on and what feeling is going on, it's all the time it's boredom or loneliness or both. And is that going on for you? And what I want you to consider is what could I do with my bored feelings? What could I do with those lonely feelings rather than overeat? But the first thing we have to do, like we talked about during the emotional component of this program, we talked about first you have to notice them. First you have to notice that those feelings are going on. And I encourage you that if you're especially eating at nighttime, to wonder if you're eating because you're bored or lonely. And to just check in with yourself about that and ask yourself the question, am I eating because I'm bored or lonely? Another piece of lifestyle is, are you eating satisfying food? It's really important that the foods you eat are yummy, that they're satisfying, that they give you nourishment and everything you need to handle your life. And if you're eating foods that are diet foods, low-calorie foods, kind of air foods that don't have much substance to them, how satisfying is it? I used to eat rice cakes because they were part of the diet I was on. And I can't eat them anymore. They're not satisfying to me. They're air food to me. They don't fill me up one single bit. They don't make me feel good. They don't give me the energy that I need. So consider, are you eating satisfying foods, and are you limiting yourself to not, are you controlling your food maybe and saying, I can't have satisfying foods. I can't have anything that's sweet. I can't have anything with fat in it. I can't have anything that has high calories, so to speak. And what I want to wonder with you is it that you're denying yourself foods that are satisfying, or is it you're eating foods that are diet foods? So consider, are they satisfying? And once again, as we said in the very beginning, is like, I'm not saying this is a free-for-all. I'm not saying that this means that we can just go out and eat whatever we want all the time or eat those kind of mindless foods, which generally are the sweet foods, the high starchy foods. And what I'm saying is, let's be mindful of it. And if you're hungry and you've checked in with yourself and something that's sweet sounds good and satisfying and you're hungry, go for it and eat till you're full and then stop. But what happens is when we don't satisfy ourselves, when we don't satisfy ourselves with food, we ultimately end up binging. That's what one reason why diets don't work is because we're not eating satisfying food. We're eating the things that are prescribed to us, and then we'll ultimately eat what we really, really, really want, and then we overeat on it. Another piece about lifestyle that I really want you to consider is, are you using coffee, Diet Coke, diet sodas to combat your hunger? And those are really diet mentality, once again, that you're using these kind of supplements or like caffeine kind of things to combat hunger, to make you full. What we do know is one of the things that we need to do more of, I think we all could do, I think any nutritionist or doctor would say the same thing, is that we need to focus on having more water, and that's a good thing because what we know is that it actually does combat hunger, but it combats the hunger, the thirst hunger, and it doesn't combat like food hunger, because that's not what we want to do. But what I do find is that when I put more water in my daily plan, my skin is better, and I don't have that kind of hunger feeling that's not connected to tummy hunger. So just consider, are you using coffee, Diet Coke, diet sodas to distract you from being hungry? So with all of these pieces about food that I just talked about, is one way to manage it is to be mindful. You know, I was just talking a lot about all the problems, what not to do, but one thing you can do is begin to be mindful, and we'll talk about that more. I think that's next week's topic is we'll talk all about mindfulness and how to be more mindful as we eat. But just to give you something to do, because I don't like to give you all the negatives and not give you anything productive to do this week to manage those lifestyle issues we were just talking about, is some of the ways to be mindful are: sit down when you eat, sit at the table, use a plate, put the food on the plate, use silverware, have a pretty table, focus on the food, eat one bite at a time. This last week I've been focusing a lot more with my food on chewing. One bite, chew. I've read some nutritionists that talk about eat, like, chew 15 to 20 times. That's a lot of times to chew one piece of food. A lot. But I've been focusing on that because I can tend to eat quicker than is good for me, and then I can't notice my fullness, because fullness takes about 20 minutes physically to show up, and if I'm eating really fast, then I can't notice my fullness. So I've been really focusing on take a bite, chew on it 15 to 20 times. While I'm chewing on it, put my fork down, maybe pat my mouth with a napkin. Those all make me more mindful and slow me down. And that's been my process, and it's been working well for me to help me to be more mindful. And so those are some of the strategies that I use to help me out. The other part of lifestyle that I want you to really consider and think about is that using the food mood log is really a way of managing your lifestyle. And by that I mean how you move through the day with food. And what I love about the food mood log is that it really told me quickly when I used it, is kind of how my body runs, how my day runs around food. And I then can know often if I'm off track with food. So let me tell you how it goes for me, and maybe that'll help you out. And this is what I find consistently with clients, with other people I talk to, that this process works really well. So through the food mood log, you can start seeing when you're hungry, when you're full, and then you can start seeing what times of day you're hungry and full, or what times of day you get hungry, and what amount of food helps you get full. And what I found was that I have this rhythm to my body. Not everybody has this, but mine is really about having breakfast in the morning, and I tend to have a protein, at least a protein with something else in the morning. I tend to have a smoothie these days, but a protein smoothie. And I'll have it in the morning, like between 7 and 8 o'clock, I'll have that. And then what I find is come 10 or 11, I'm hungry for a little snack. Before I got on the call, I had my snack because I knew my lunch would be later than normal. And I had a couple of almonds, and that just wasn't satisfying me. So then I had I put the almonds away, and I had a hard-boiled egg, and super satisfying, and that was my snack. And so when I'm done with this call at about 1 o'clock, I'll have my lunch. So breakfast for me is around 7 or 8. I have a snack around 10, 11. I have lunch around 12 to 1. And then I have another snack around 3 to 4. That snack for me is critical. I need that snack. And then I have dinner around 7, and then I generally have like a piece of chocolate around 8 or 9. And that's my day. And that works really well for me. And what I know is that if I keep to that kind of a schedule, I'm generally pretty good. It generally, my hunger shows up pretty much at those times pretty consistently. And that just helps me stay on track for myself. And what I know is that if I begin, and they're generally high veggie content and protein is how, what I eat, it works best for me and my body. And what I find is that if I start craving food that I haven't craved in a while, I'll start noticing what's going on. And one of my stories, let me tell you. So if you start to crave food that you normally don't have, or at times that you normally don't eat, or after you've already eaten, it's a time to wonder what's going on and checking back in with yourself and saying, what's up with me that I'm wanting to eat right now, or I'm wanting to eat this food that I don't normally eat, and asking the questions, being curious, being that detective can be very, very helpful. So my story, and I don't think I've told this to all of you, so forgive me if I have, but it's still a good story and it still fits, is that I used to eat at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I used to, at this one job I had, actually most of my jobs, I would go at 3 o'clock and get something sweet and a coffee, a caffeine coffee. And that was my daily thing. I deserved it, I wanted it, and I would have it. Well, what happened was is that it was too big of a snack for one, and I would then not be hungry for dinner until 8 o'clock at night, which is, for me, a little too late to eat. And so it was sabotaging me. On top of, I was eating this sweet snack every day, just very mindlessly eating this sweet snack. And I found that as I started to work this process of intuitive eating and looking at my hunger and looking at my emotions that might be leading me to eat certain foods, I realized that I was craving this sweet treat and caffeine at 3 o'clock because I was feeling stressed and I was unhappy at my job. And what I noticed is that eating that sweet treat and having that coffee at 3 o'clock wasn't helping me in my job. It wasn't making the stress go down. It wasn't making anything better, except it was making me probably gain weight and definitely not feel good about myself. And also, it wasn't the kind of food that fuels me for the rest of the day to help me end my day at work in a positive way. So what I found was that I have to have a snack at that time of the day, but what I found is that if I have something that's more high protein at that time of the day, it really satisfies me well, and it helps me to have the fuel I need to end my work day better. So I just want to encourage you to look at that, those kind of cravings, and notice if you're eating it at odd times of the day, or craving things at odd times of the day, or craving a lot of food at certain times of the day, to start wondering, what's going on, and is there some type of emotional component to this that you could look at that then would give you the opportunity to discontinue that behavior that's not necessarily in your best interest. Also, that lifestyle part of figuring out what your normal times of day are when you eat, then noticing if you're not eating at those times, then that could be information for you. And how that could help is on those times when things start to feel out of control. And when things start to feel out of control, my experience is with myself and people I work with is like when we are going to a restaurant, or when we're going on vacation, or when we're going to a party, or when it's a holiday, our normal routine that we've worked so hard to develop can kind of be thrown to the wayside. And that can be tough. And that's why I like starting with just having you get in touch with what is your normal process throughout the day, so then we can start then dealing with the odd occurrences or the, well, for some people, they go out to a restaurant a lot, or they go to different locations a lot. They go to parties a lot. So if that's you, then see how you can figure out putting those into more of a normal schedule. What I have really realized, and this has been a really important learning, is that the way that I eat on a normal day works good for me on a day when I go to a restaurant, or on a day where I have a vacation, or on a day when I'm going to a party. So it's like, you know, if I normally eat dinner at 7, well, if I'm going to go to a restaurant, I will just go, I'll have my normal snack. What can tend to happen is we'll say, well, I'm not going to have a snack. I'm not going to have anything if I'm hungry beforehand, because I want to really eat when I get to wherever I'm going. Well, what my experience has been is that sets us up to overeat. That when we delay and don't eat when we're really hungry, we're setting ourselves up to overeat. So I'm not an advocate of going to a restaurant starving or going to a party starving. I will eat beforehand if I'm hungry. And my husband will say, why are you eating before we go? And it's like, I'm hungry. I need to eat something right now. I won't eat as much. I won't eat a meal, but I might have a little snack. And that helps me to manage going to these places, because then what can happen is that if you go to a restaurant, if you go to a party, what can happen then is all the feelings come into play, and that can lead you to feel out of control. So just notice if you stick to more of a schedule for yourself with your food, it might help you feel more in control and your feelings don't get as out of control. I also find that even on vacation, that having some kind of schedule and eating in a way that normally fits for you can be really helpful, because it just can feel, it's just your normal way of eating. Granted, when I go on vacation, you know, I might try something different, but I'm not going to have every meal all day as a free-for-all. You could do that, but then know that when you come back from vacation, you might have gained weight, and how is that going to feel for you? So I hope that all makes sense to you, and kind of just consider what you could do to have more of a rhythm to your eating. Because I find that when you have that, then you can notice when you're off base, out of balance, and then check in with yourself about the emotions that might be leading you to overeat. So I really want you to really get, hear me say that this is a process. And it's a process of understanding and exploring what works for you. And I just give you examples of what's worked for me, what's worked for other clients, what I hear other people talk about, so that you can have ideas for you to start gathering together your toolbox about what can work for you. I would encourage you to continue using the Hungry Full Scale. I think that's one of the best things you can use. And notice if you're really using it. And what I find is on that scale is that what to me used to feel like hunger is different. It changes over time, especially around the fullness, that what I used to think was being full was really, now I come to find out it's over full. And so I just encourage you to keep checking in with your body. And if that's hard for you to do, take some deep breaths and just check in and go, how hungry am I right now? Where am I falling? What is my tummy telling me? What is my body telling me? And get back in touch with that body wisdom that really knows what's going on. This is the part about what we've lost track of, that we used to know when we were kids, that we drifted away from those hungry full signals, and we moved away from noticing it. And we did for lots of different reasons. Everybody has a story about when it started. But you moved away from really noticing your body. And what happens is that then the more we diet and the more we kind of loathe our body and don't like our body, the further we move away from wanting to be in touch with our body. And that's actually our seventh week. We talk about body image, self-worth, how you look at your body and how much that affects your relationship with food. And so we'll talk about that more in a couple of weeks. I also encourage you to use the Am I Hungry and Am I Full tools that are on our private website. What happens with all of this information is that it takes repetition. It takes doing it over and over again. And it takes us coming back to being centered in our body and believing that we're worth being centered in our body, that we're worth being focused, and that we're worth nourishing our bodies, because there's a piece of this self-worth that has really taken you away from being able or willing to notice what's going on inside of you. So give yourself a break and just know that this is a lifetime process and it gets easier. I said this earlier, it truly gets easier as time goes on, but you have to work it. And I think that what we could all agree on is that we want to do it differently. And that requires just working it. So notice where you're doing what we've talked about. Notice where you have maybe drifted from some of the tools we've been talking about, and check back in. Check back in with yourself about what's going on. Re-listen to some of the audios from earlier weeks. Let's say that you're really thinking a lot about dieting, or you're really thinking about needing to lessen the amount of food that you have, or you're afraid that you'll never be able to do it. Listen back then to the diet week, the week that we talked about dieting. If you are finding that your emotions are really showing up, listen back to the week on emotions and get more in touch with what's going on for your emotions that are leading you to overeat. If you're finding that you're having a lot of negative self-talk, if you're finding that you're putting yourself down a lot or thinking you can never do it, listen back to last week when we talked about our thoughts and how our thoughts can lead us astray from being connected to our body, how our thoughts can lead us to do things that aren't in our best interest. So listen to that week of audio and help get yourself back on track. So the homework for this week is to notice all of those pieces that I just said, and anywhere that you feel that you're off track, listen back to the audio. What I encourage you to do this week, again, is this is week, what, five? So I encourage you to practice another different self-care skill. What is a self-care skill you can use this week that is different from the other 4 weeks that you've done? Remember, we want to build up to where we have at least 8 of them each week. You know, use as many self-care skills as you want, but add a new one on. Last week, mine was, I told you guys in my letter to all of you, is mine was all about music, and I have been just enthralled with listening to music that I haven't listened to in ages, and it's just making me feel, it's leading me to feel so good, and I really enjoy it. The other self-care skill that I just started today, and I'll check in more with you guys as we move along, is I changed up my workout time to a different time of the day, and I really liked it, and it's giving me more time to do other things when I put my my workout in a different time of the day. So that is self-care for me, is re-looking at my schedule and wondering if it's really working to my benefit. Is it working me or am I working it? You know, kind of, is it working for me or against me? So that's a self-care skill I just started to implement these last few days about having my the things that I do during the day a little different, and one of that is the time of my workout. So self-care skill, check back in with yourself on any areas of the last 4 weeks that are off track for you and re-listen to those audios or redo some of the skills for those weeks. The last thing I want to leave you with is that it's really important to be kind to yourself, to give yourself praise that you're doing things differently. And I know what you're probably saying is, oh, Kim, I haven't done enough, or there are all these things I haven't done. Notice that you've done something. Notice that you're listening to this call. That's an hour out of your life that you're doing something different, and give yourself credit for it. Notice that you're doing something, that maybe you're listening more to your hunger. You're listening to it 10% of the time rather than 0% of the time. Yay, yay team. Notice the good that you're doing, because the times when you start to say, I'm not doing enough, that's all that negative self-talk. And that's the stuff that'll keep you grounded, that'll keep you away from where you want to go. So be kind to yourself and notice what you are doing different. Notice the self-care skill that you're doing that's different. And notice what changes are going on. And I'm not talking necessarily about changes on the outside in terms of weight. I'm talking about what are the changes in terms of your emotions, changes in terms of your behavior, something that you're doing differently. Maybe you're not eating in the car. Maybe you're not eating in bed. Maybe you're sitting down at the table now and turning off the television. Those are huge. And give yourself credit for that. Don't say it's not that big a deal, because it is a big deal. And I want you to notice them, because those are the areas that you can. What I know is that once you start noticing the positive, it builds more positive. Positive begets positive. Positive builds on the positive. So keep that going in terms of noticing what you're doing differently, noticing the changes, and acknowledging them and giving yourself credit for what you're doing and praising yourself. That is a lot for today. I have talked a lot about lifestyle. I've talked a lot about different things you can do, and I really love the work that you all are doing. And I am going to, we're going to sign off of the recording, and then we'll go into Q&A mode and see if anybody has any questions. We'll take the questions. I'll take the questions off the recording so we can have, so if anybody feels uncomfortable sharing, you know, being recorded, we can kind of leave that out. So I'm going to turn off the recording, open up to Q&A mode. So thank you guys for attending, and we'll go into Q&A.